Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. It is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I think everybody is familiar with the series that we're going on right now, how we know that it's so easy for us to encounter God personally when we have our private prayer time, also when we have that private time with the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. But we find it difficult sometimes to enter into the ritual part of our life. But that is where God's grace comes to us most securely, through the sacraments. So that's what we've been going over, and we're in the midst of that series right now. Today, because our gospel talks about those beatitudes, those attitudes that we're supposed to take on, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the pure of heart, blessed are the meek, all those things, it's important for us to see how the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, allows us to live those attitudes out and to take those attitudes into the rest of our life. So what sacraments am I going to be talking about today? Confirmation. So this is all review for those of you who were confirmed last year, and for those who were at our class just last week where we covered these very same things. This is all review for you so you can teach the rest of everybody else after Mass. So what I want to do is four things, four really easy things. First is to begin with looking at sacraments in general and those three points that we covered each and every day at the beginning of the homily. But then to get into some disturbing facts about confirmation, some things from my own personal experience, but also from my experience as a priest, and then to get into what the sacrament of confirmation actually is and does, and then how are we supposed to live it out? How are we supposed to live out our confirmation in our daily lives? We need to know these things. So let's look at it. What are sacraments? Sacraments. How many sacraments are there? That's right. You all passed that part of the exam. Seven sacraments. But did you know that there are three divisions, three types of sacraments? The first would be those sacraments of initiation. There's three of them. And they go in this order. Baptism, confirmation, first Holy Communion or the Eucharist. Those are the three of them. The order is very important because the whole of the Christian life culminates in receiving Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. But there are also two sacraments of healing, of sanation in our lives, where God puts his healing into our lives through his grace. That would be confession and anointing of the sick, extreme unction. And we have two sacraments, which are sacraments of vocation or sacraments of service. First of which is sacrament of holy orders. We talked about that, the priesthood, the diaconate. But secondarily, that sacrament of holy matrimony. We'll get to covering holy matrimony later on. But remember, you don't get married because you want something. You get married because you want to see that other person in heaven forever, to help them to achieve their vocation, which is to be with God as a saint. That's why we become married. Those are the three divisions. Now, what is a sacrament in general? The definition of a sacrament, we remember, it's an outward sign of an inward change or transformation instituted by Jesus Christ himself that gives us grace. What's grace? Grace is the divine life, the strength, the power of God come to live within us that allows us to be what God has called us to be great, to be saints. That's why God gives us that grace, because we can't be saints on our own. We can't live out our Christian lives by ourselves. We need him. And so he plants his grace, his power, his life into us through the sacraments. Now we talk about sacraments. The second most important thing is that they're signs. Signs. Not like the signs that we see at the end of every street, but they're signs that actually bring into existence what they signify. That's what the sacraments do. Sacraments actually do that. We give the example of baptism, which we use each and every time. And baptism, what it does is we throw water on a little baby, on a creature, on a human being, and so their skin is washed. But really, the interior of who they are is cleansed from every stain, every effect of sin, so they are perfect at that moment in the sight of God. It actually changes who they are. As young Sienna Catherine, whose birthday was last Sunday, will tell you, she received it as an adult at 7 years old. Transformed who she was. Made her into something she wasn't before. The beloved daughter of God the Father forever. Transformed who she was. Because the sacraments are these signs that actually affect what the symbol is that they stand for. But the third thing that we need to know about sacraments in general is that they're not magic. They're not magic. Because, meaning that if we don't want the effects to take root in our lives, they won't. We have to be disposed to receive the graces which God wants to plant in us and change us. Meaning, like the example that I always give, when I was a young man coming up here for Holy Communion, I'd come down that aisle every single Sunday. The Father would put Jesus on my tongue, and all I would be thinking about is, how soon can I get out of here so I can go plant myself in front of the TV and watch football? I wasn't receiving the grace. I wasn't receiving the change and the transformation of God's divine love and reality in my life because I didn't want it. I wasn't disposed for it. So we can stop the grace that God wants to bring into our lives through the sacraments if we just treat them like they're exterior rituals rather than letting them transform us. Sacraments aren't magic. We have to let them take root in our lives. Otherwise, we cut ourselves off to the life that God wants to plant within us. So those are sacraments in general, just a review. But getting into confirmation, you know, there's some disturbing facts about confirmation. When confirmation, those who grew up Catholic, even those who receive the sacrament of confirmation, often, sadly, leave the practice of their faith by the time they turn 18. They stop participating in their faith. What that means is that we're losing people early in their life. Means that we're, as a church, not doing something well. There's many factors that contribute to this. Our families tend to not explain the sacramental life within the family. If the parents aren't living it out, if they aren't teaching their children, how are the kids going to pick it up? So that's the first time we lose it. Parents are supposed to teach first. The church is only to reinforce what the parents have already begun teaching. But also friends, the secular world, the materialistic things pull people away from the spiritual life, pull them away from the sacraments. And sadly, pastors, priests, deacons, catechists, we don't always do the best job explaining the faith. That's on us. Even doing the best we can't always connect with each and every one we want to show the love of Christ to. So there are lots of factors that cause this. But that was my experience. You know, when I was a young man, I didn't physically leave the church. I still went most Sundays, but my heart wasn't present. My heart wasn't present in any of it. I would come there, and remember when I received my confirmation, it's supposed to be this transformational thing in your life, but for me it wasn't. Why? Well, you know what? When I experienced confirmation when I was a young man, there's only two things that I remember about my confirmation day. You know what they were? On my confirmation, all I remember, even to this day, was that there were a bunch of pretty girls there, and somebody had their hand on my shoulder as they went up to take me to the Archbishop. That's all I remember. Nothing else affected me. Now, for many of my classmates, I'm sure it was an extremely transformational spiritual experience for them because they were ready. Maybe it was for you, but it wasn't for me. That's not my experience. In fact, I counted at that time in my life as this experience of confirmation to be one of the least important things that happened to me during my 16th year of life. I just didn't care. And because of that, the grace did not take root in my life for many, many years afterwards. That was on me. It wasn't on my parents. My parents did the best they could. My catechists were trying to teach me the best that they could, but just nothing that they said stuck out for me about the faith. Just not a single thing can I remember. And unfortunately, that's not just something that's happened in my life. It's happened over and over again in many people's lives. In fact, there was a couple who came to me over the past couple weeks wanting to enter into the sacrament of matrimony, of marriage. And when they came to me after discussing for a while, they confessed to me, Father, you know what? Even though she and I came from very profoundly Catholic families, neither of us cared about our faith or participated in it after we left for college. We never thought about it again. And in fact, they only started coming back to Mass over the past year, wanting to get their lives together, praise God. But there's a disconnect there. There's a problem. And if I'm going to be frank with you, you know what the most difficult, the hardest day in the life of a pastor, in the life of a priest is in the entire year? It's not the craziness that we have to do preparing for the Easter Vigil. That's not it. It's actually the day of confirmation. The confirmation day is the most difficult day in the life of a pastor. Why? Because the Archbishop, He comes here and he stands there and he calls out to the priest, the pastor, as he's standing here at this ambo, and he asks him a question. He says, "Dear Father, are these young men and young women who are about to be confirmed at my hands, are they sufficiently prepared to receive it?" And you know what? As a pastor, I don't know how to answer that with integrity. Are they ready? You know, from my experience and talking to other priests from big parishes, I myself being a part of many big parishes in my life, standing in that same place, the problem is that most of us don't even know, have never even seen or spoken to half those young men and women who are coming for confirmation. How do we know? And from my own experience, being in small parish ministry, you know, I've been training and preparing young men and women to receive confirmation for 12 to 16 years of my life. That's almost half of it. And in that time, I can say that maybe I know who those people are, but I also know something else from my experience. And many of them, most of them, I'm never going to see again after this day. Thanks be to God. Every single person who was confirmed last year in this parish is here today. That's a great grace. That's a great grace. Good stuff is happening, but that's not the norm. That's the thing. There are many remarkable young men and women, even here in this parish, who I see God transforming their lives through the sacrament. That's not the norm, though. That's not the norm. Many people are just leaving, and we never see them again. So what is confirmation? That's the third point. Confirmation. You know, those who have been a part of the confirmation program, those of you who are the parents, you know this. But at the end of confirmation, we always have a little exam, a little interview. And the purpose is to make sure that our young people have a good understanding of what's expected of them in their faith, make sure they know those facts, but also to gauge their ability to have that desire to really receive it. Do they want to be confirmed? And you know what the first question that I ask each and every one of them in there sometime during that when I'm talking about them personally? First question is, do you want to be confirmed? And you know what? Most of them happen to say yes to that. So we can continue on with the exam there. If they don't, we're not going to give it to them. They're not ready for it. So after I ask them, I say, why? Why do you want to receive the sacrament? And you know what almost all of them say? They all say, Father, because I want to be an adult Catholic. I want to be an adult in my faith. That's a good answer. But then I ask them a second question, a follow-up, and I say, well, why? Why do you want to be an adult Catholic? What is that going to do for you in your life? And you know what each and every one of them always say after that? I don't know. That's a problem. That's a big problem. If you don't know why you're going to receive it, how can you receive it? Are you really ready? We see that in the order of the sacraments. Remember I told you what the order was? It's baptism, confirmation, then Eucharist. But because we flip those last two, often what it happens to be is that people see confirmation as the be-all, end-all. We're aiming toward that. But that's not what the be-all, end-all of being Catholic is. It's the Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, receiving Him. Confirmation prepares us to do that. And because we flip those two, what often is we think that confirmation is about us. But that's what baptism is about. Baptism is when we enter into that life of Christ and He enters into us to lead us to salvation, to make us His beloved sons and daughters. Confirmation is this. Confirmation is about mission. Confirmation is about being soldiers in the army of God, about fighting for our faith. Confirmation is really about Pentecost. Confirmation is our personal entrance into Pentecost. You remember what happened at Pentecost? Remember, everybody's gathered up there in the upper room. The apostles, the Blessed Virgin Mary, all those disciples gathered together in that upper room. And what happens? The Holy Spirit comes down upon them in tongues of fire, shaking the entire place. And then what happens? Each one of them is sent, driven out by the Holy Spirit from that room, and they begin proclaiming the gospel to everyone they encounter without fear, even to the point of martyrdom. because they know that their souls are secure. That their souls are secure in Christ. That's what happens at confirmation. When the Holy Spirit comes down upon the soul, that is confirmation. That is what is going on. Now, to jump really profoundly into the sacrament, we talk about the sacraments being full of signs, right? Signs. We know in the sacrament of confirmation, there are three signs that are present. The first is the laying on of hands by the bishop. Remember that? Remember that, Anastasia, when the archbishop came down and laid his hands on you one by one by one by one? Then what happened after that? He came by with some holy oil, some chrism, and sealed you with the Spirit. Those are the two signs right there. But he said something else. Remember, chrism is that oil which is right here. It's prominently displayed in our sanctuary. It's the oil that smells amazing because it has balsam in it. You know, I found out something this week about that oil. Pretty interesting. I shared it on Friday with those at Mass. That oil, Jesus actually gave us the recipe for that oil. Gave it to the apostles on Holy Thursday right after washing their feet. St. Fabian talks about that in his writings, one of the early popes. He gave us the very symbol of that. And the archbishop, every Holy Thursday, consecrates that oil so that it can be used to bring this confirmation grace into the lives of everyone who receives it. But the bishop says something when he seals you there. He says, by name, like you would to Jude, he'd say, Sebastian, be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when he says that, something happens. Because these signs, these two signs of the laying on of the hands of the bishop, the anointing with holy chrism, bring into effect what the bishop says, being sealed. What's a seal? Do you know what a seal is? Cynthia has a seal for me. She's going to bring it up here just in a second. Cynthia, what's that seal? This right here is a seal. This is a seal that I use. You know, every time I buy a book, I take this seal, I open up to the front page, and I push down as hard as I can on it to mark that page. And you know what the seal says? The seal says, this book belongs to Father Christopher Burnaby. If you have it, give it back, please. That marks the book as belonging to me because I lose a lot of books. So I got to stamp it in there so that this book is known as mine. You know, that's exactly what happens at confirmation. That's what God did to each of us on the day of our confirmation. What he did was he pressed into our very character the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And he said at that moment, you are mine now. You belong to me, not like a slave, but like a loving parent. Mother or father says to her child lovingly, you're mine. A thing of intimacy, a thing of belonging, a thing of true love and endearment. See, at confirmation, what happens is that God presses us into the service of Jesus Christ, his Son, so that we can bear witness to the faith, so that we can defend our Catholic faith. That's what happens at confirmation. So how do I live out confirmation this week? Well, you know, just a week ago, I received an email from somebody. They had just been confirmed. They had just been received into the church. And this young man, he said to me, I got an email. And from somebody at my work, and they weren't able to make it to a meeting. So they said, hey, could you take care of this for me? So what normally he would have done to that woman, he would have sent her back an email saying, yeah, I'll take notes for you, and I'll fill you in when you get back. But he didn't do that. You know what he did? This man wrote an email back to her, and he said to her, what's the name of your husband so that I can pray for him? See, he knew what was going on in her life, and instead of responding on the surface, he went deep into the faith to speak truth and life into her. That's confirmation. That's what confirmation does. How many of us have ever been at work or at a social gathering where we've heard somebody who brings up something about the church, speaks wrongly about it, has an incorrect belief about it, and we say, ooh, you know what? I should really say something about that. But then we don't. Doing it, challenging that other person in charity to say, hey, you know what? Are you sure about that? I don't know if that's right. You know, if I could look into that a little bit more and share with you what I find, would you be open to that? Just that simple act like that, that's confirmation. Having been pressed into God's service, belonging to Jesus, and being able to witness to that faith to others, that's confirmation. So first, what's the task of the week? Be thankful. Be thankful for every opportunity you get to witness to the faith, for God giving you this great gift of the Spirit in your life to encourage you. But secondly, each and every day, be very intentional when you pray to God. Pray to Him and ask Him for a chance to witness to Him, to proclaim and defend the faith, to have the courage to do it. Brothers and sisters, that's confirmation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.